Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
A trade deadline special. The Wizards made a trade, and it was not as exciting as I just sounded with that tone. The Wizards are sending off, let's do this because it's a three-team trade. So the Wizards are sending Troy Brown to the Chicago Bulls. They're sending Mo Wagner to the Boston Celtics, and there are some other people in there and some other stuff in there. Luke Kornet is going to the Celtics. Daniel Theis is going to Chicago, and the main feature, at least for this podcast, is that Chandler Hutchison and Daniel Gafford are coming to Washington. And even more the main feature is that David Aldridge is on the Skype line. How you doing on the trade deadline evening?
It's why I'm lying down, because it's been a long last 4 days. Chasing every rumor and hearing things and having to, you know the drill. Nobody cares about that, but it's tiring. It's just been a long few days. But it's done. The Wizards again looking to improve along the margins, as opposed to kind of like really going all in on an obvious and big improvement. I think they're probably a little bit better defensively and probably a little worse offensively, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I'm kind of stuck between on this because it's really jarring when you look at the standings and you see them and the Magic tied in the wins column and the direction that one team went in. You know, the Magic are using a shovel to dig a hole for themselves, and the Wizards are using a shovel to fight off everybody coming for Bradley Beal. And it's kind of jarring when you look at those teams and see that one is 13th, one is 14th. They're a game apart. One decided we're trading our all-star, Nikola Vucevic. We are trading Aaron Gordon. We are trading Evan Fournier, who's going to be a free agent this summer. And normally I'm a big proponent on, you know what, get better at the margins. Yeah, they traded Troy Brown, who they drafted in the first round. But like, it's not like they traded Troy Brown for Garrett Temple when they make a trade with Chicago. You know, they traded him for, you know, a young player who's got team control and Daniel Gafford, who they like. It's not some sort of disastrous turnover, although the process behind the trade, which I'm sure we'll talk about, was really the more problematic part, just kind of how they didn't prioritize Troy Brown's development. But it's just... it just feels like part of the cycle of like this team is 15-27, and it just feels like they're delaying the Beal storyline now until the summer, and then all this stuff is just going to pop up again because they didn't improve in a meaningful way, they didn't get worse in a meaningful way, and so nothing meaningful is really going to change, you know?
Yeah, and I just don't know that that's a good place to be. I mean, It only makes sense if you hit a home run next summer. You know, you have a bunch of contracts that potentially you could put together, you know, for good but not great players. You don't have any draft surplus, but you could certainly conceivably, throw some draft capital in. But if the idea is we're, you know, we'll see what happens with the lottery, obviously, and that will be a big factor in this as well. But if you wind up with a top five pick, I think you're going to get a very good player in this draft. But if it's eight or nine again, you know, they're going to be in the same place they've been the last 2 years, which is, you know, let's take the best of what's left, which is not the same thing as a really good impact player that can immediately come in and help you. I think we've seen with each of their last two drafts that neither one of those guys was ready for prime time when they got here. So it's just difficult to kind of keep counting on, again, marginal development. They need somebody that can play, like now. Somebody that can come in and give to them what Ja Morant gave to Memphis in terms of a lift, or a, you know, what LaMelo Ball gave to Charlotte this year. Just an obvious lift because of the talent level and their abilities. Now, I don't know if that's Suggs or Cade Cunningham, or I like Evan Mobley, but it's got to be one. It's got to be somebody that steps in and plays at a high level immediately.
And look, they might end up getting one of them. We're recording this thing in the middle of the Knicks game, by the way. So if we don't acknowledge the Knicks, the reason why is because it's currently halftime of that game. They might end up kind of falling backwards into one of those guys. I mean, tank if tanking is a philosophy and not necessarily in a you know, it's not necessarily reflected in the standings. It's a philosophy. The Thunder, whether they finish with the sixth worst record or eighth worst record or third worst record, they're tanking. It's a philosophy that they are inflicting. They are tanking. The Wizards, whether they finish with the worst record or the eighth worst record, they're not tanking. They're trying to win games. Whether they're tanking or a lot or not, I mean, they have the fifth worst winning percentage in the NBA right now. You talk to a lot of the draft experts and they'll tell you there are five stars in this draft. There are five guys who have a legitimate chance to be serious difference makers. And if you go in with the fifth worst record, you got a real chance of kind of lucking into one of those guys in the lottery. And maybe that's what happens. But even so, you know, the clock on Beal is now a year and you know, you're playing with fire. I know Beal has, they were never going to trade Beal. They were not fielding calls on him. They were not engaging with other teams on him. And Beal has never gone to them, to my knowledge, and said, you got to get me out of here. And everything that Beal says publicly leads you to say that, you know, he's still giving them a chance. But he doesn't want to just stay forever and lose. I mean, he wants to win, and he's made that explicit both publicly and privately. And something has to happen if they're going to hold on to Beal for them to win. And I don't know what it would have been. This isn't like a criticism of how they handled the deadline, because I don't know what they could have done at this deadline that would have been a reasonable move that you can do. You're 15 and 27. You're not giving up multiple first round picks to get Nikola Vucevic. Like, that would have been crazy. So they shouldn't do anything like that. But if you're going to hold on to Beal, you feel like, you know, the Westbrook move was that's our upgrade, and it hasn't done anything for them. I don't know what that next thing is that gets them into you're going to win with Beal in the immediacy.
Well, again, it has to be a big swing. I don't think Westbrook was a big swing. It was, you know, my bad contract for your bad contract. You know, I mean, would they have been demonstrably worse if they had kept John Wall and played with him this year? You know what I mean? Like, I can't sit here and say they'd be worse. Like, you know, they are what they are, and it's not good. So I think they'd probably be about the same. So again, the dramatic improvement is where I think is the only thing that I think is going to keep Beal, you know, kind of locked in and engaged. It has to be obvious that they make a big upgrade. So, you know, I think they got about 5 months. I really do. I think they've got to fix this thing within the next 5 months. And it can't be, I'm not being critical of Tommy Shepard, but it can't be in this kind of piecemeal, we're going to try to get a little bit better because Daniel Gafford's a better rim protector than what we have. And, you know, our coach can't figure out how to get Troy Brown minutes. So it's just not, we're just going to punt on that one. Even though they said for 3 years, this kid's the youngest kid in the league, and that's the upside, is that he's going to get better and better and better. And it didn't, you know, it's just, you know, just that just went away. But that's okay, because you got another young guy. You know, at least they didn't trade for, you know, 33-year-old players this time. So that's better, you know, right? So, but it's still not, hey, this is going to get us into the top 5 or 6 in the East, and that's what they need.
Right. To me, the problematic part of the trade is not the return they got for Brown and Wagner, because I think that's probably about what those guys are worth. It was the process leading up to it. It was the, you know, the couple of, or the really the 2.5 years, especially with Brown, the couple of years of not, I'm just going to, at the very least, not prioritizing his development, and at the very most, somewhat stifling it by really not playing him, you know, giving, kind of handing the offense over to him in the bubble for in a substantial way, letting him run pick and rolls, letting him grab defensive rebounds and go, and then signing a bunch of ball handlers and not having him do that coming into this year. Now, I'm not saying Troy Brown is this up and coming all world guy who's going to be able to run your first unit. I think Troy Brown can become a nice bench player, a really helpful bench player who can help run your reserve unit for 12 to 16 minutes a night or whatever, and can do it in a competent way, and can be your heady guy who makes the right pass and runs the right action and becomes a good team defender and a good cutter and all those sorts of things. Like, I think that's the type of player he's capable of becoming. But when you draft a guy 15th, and it wasn't just this year, you know, his rookie year, it took him until February until he was in the rotation consistently. And that was kind of when they started to roll over, a couple weeks after the trade deadline of that season. That was the year they traded for Ariza for the second time. And, you know, it took until like February of that season, that was his rookie year, for him to really get in the rotation consistently. With everybody clamoring, this team is not winning, it's not going anywhere, put your first round pick in the rotation and just see what he can do, get him minutes. And he's still only 21 years old, and just the lack of prioritizing his development in lieu of trying to win on 3 consecutive teams that have lost at a 50-win pace is just, that's problematic. And if he goes and is helpful elsewhere, you know, I think you can look back at that situation and look at parts of it and see how it was handled with some regret, because it's just the lack of prioritizing your first round pick's development is weird, especially when you juxtapose it with how much they prioritize Rui. You know?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just, again, the improvement has to come. You're looking for improvement. The first round pick's supposed to be a rotation player. It's not supposed to be something you're guessing about. You know what I mean? Like, you pick a guy in the first round, they're supposed to contribute something. And Troy didn't really do that. And again, I don't think that's all Troy's fault. You know, and you passed up on other talent that you could have had because you were gambling on the youth and him being and him having such a high upside as a guy that wasn't really great at anything, but you thought could do everything at a very high level. And it didn't work out. And I'm not going to kill them for it not working out. A lot of first round picks don't work out, but you don't see, again, like other teams that draft in the top 10 regularly, you see their young guys being a part of what they're doing. You know, whatever you think of Orlando, whatever Orlando's doing, their young guys play. You know, they play their young guys. You know, it's not always pretty, but they play them. And that's, I don't know what the point of having young guys is if you're not going to play them and develop them. Maybe it'll be different. They like Gafford. He's got some springiness to him as a big. He does do things that they haven't had at that position for a while. And we'll see. You know, I think Hutchinson is a project and is not, you know, to me, again, part of the issue I have with this team is the redundancy. You already have a guy that's offensively challenged and long defensively in Bonga. Why do you need another one? You know, I don't understand that in a league where you have to shoot to be able to play. Now you've got two guys that you're going to want to take a look at that can't shoot. So I don't know. But I'm fine taking a shot at taking a look at Gafford. You know, he is a legit big prospect that they can look at as a potential starter or at worst, you know, a really good energetic backup for Thomas Bryant going forward. So I'm fine with that. Like you said, it's just the process that's more kind of weird than anything else.
He is – I was going through this because he can really jump, like really jump very high. And he's often very out of place on defense. He was the prize, by the way, in this deal. Like, he's the guy who they wanted. I think they're – my read on the situation is they're seeing if there's anything in Hutchison, but he's been inconsistent in Chicago. And I think like he's the guy who they wanted. He can jump like crazy. And one of the things I was racking my brain with today was, you know, every year you talk to John Wall, you know, for every year I've been on the Wizards beat, you go into the off season. And since before I was on the Wizards beat, you go into the off season, and some reporter asked John, "Hey, John, what do you think the team could use as an upgrade for next year?" And his answer every time, "Really an athletic big man." And then you go to the next year and it's, "Hey, John, what do you think the team could use for next year?" "Yeah, an athletic big man." And it was his answer every single year. And so I'm racking my brain. Like, when was the last time they had a big man who was kind of the rim protector, lob finisher that fits this description? And I think they thought that's what they were getting in Dwight Howard, and then Dwight Howard showed up, and you know he couldn't even stand up straight because his back was so injured, and he looked like right. You know, he looked so hurt during the 9 or so games that he played that year, and then has surgery and doesn't play again. I think JaVale is the last guy.
Yeah, no, it's JaVale. Yeah, I think JaVale is clearly the last kind of, you know, springy big, you know, kind of modern big that they've had. And again, I mean, it's fine. I don't, you know, again, I'm not going to get too excited about this, but it's fine. You know, it helps you in one way. So we'll see. I mean, we'll see, you know, how many minutes he can really command with his abilities, his defensive abilities and his rebounding and rim running and all that. But they need to do a lot more. I think they've got to do a lot more, and they don't have much more time to do that lot more. They got to really start swinging for the fences here, I think. Otherwise, I don't know the point. I don't understand the point of keeping Brad around unless you're going to really do everything you can to improve the roster. So to me, I think everybody would be available. If I needed to move up to get to a top 3 pick, or a top 5 pick, if you think there's 5 players in this draft, then you got to do that. And I don't really care who you put in the deal to do that. You know, at this point, you got to do it. And you probably need to use your mid-level on, again, nothing. Robin Lopez has been great, but you got to use it on somebody better than Robin Lopez next summer. If you're going to make it worth Brad's while to stay here.
So a couple years ago, they hold on to Trevor Ariza and Jeff Green past the deadline. And I think they could have gotten at least one second round pick for both those guys, especially right. Ariza. This year, the expiring veterans they have they're not as enticing as Ariza and Green were that year, especially Ariza. Right. I'm not going to say they definitely could have gotten a second round pick for Robin Lopez, definitely could have gotten a second round pick for Neto, definitely could have gotten a second round pick for Ish Smith, who's currently injured and I don't think is coming back like tomorrow. I think it's going to be at least another week or two for Ish. Last time I checked, he wasn't really doing that much. So I'm not under the impression I haven't heard that they had some offer of two second round picks for Robin Lopez or whatever, and they turned it down. And, you know, he makes $7 million, so now you're talking about swapping money there, and maybe it's not good money or whatever. So I'm not throwing, like, it's not necessarily a criticism, because it's too hypothetical, but what is your reaction to those guys? I asked Tommy Shepard about it tonight, for what it's worth, about kind of his philosophy going in with expiring vets there. And he said that his intention is that he'd like to bring those guys back ideally. And you can't bring everybody back, but he says Neto has done a fantastic job for us. He said Ish is such a great spirit in our locker room every night. He said Robin has been a tremendous backup center in the role we projected for him. He's done more than what we could have hoped for. What is your reaction to them holding on to those guys for the rest of the year? Do you have any sort of thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, honestly, I don't think as a group, I doubt any one of those guys. Well, I just said as a group. So as a group, I doubt that you would get a lot back for any combination of those players, even on an expiring contract. I mean, you know, you're talking about second round picks. Maybe, you know, for one, two, or three of those guys, maybe you get 2 seconds back, which is, you know, again, it's fine. It's currency. If you're still operating on the, I think, increasing delusion that you have a chance to get in, make that 10th spot and get in the tournament and figure it out, and okay, but, and you can't ever admit that you're tanking, I guess, you know, it's okay. It's not bad that they didn't make a move for those guys. I think it's, you know, the problem will be how many of those guys are you really planning on bringing back next year? To me is the issue. You know, your roster isn't anywhere near good enough to have, you know, that level of guy that you're putting money into. And, you know, you still don't really know, you know, the first year of the Bertans deal has not been good. So you really got to hope that he makes a big jump back up to elite next year. So they just got a lot of work to do on the roster. But if they didn't get a second this year for Neto or for Robin Lopez, I mean, okay, I'm not going to kill him for it.
Yeah. I mean, Shepard talked about bringing them back, and I get it. I mean, you know, what else, in some ways, what else is he going to say? At the same time, you got Beal, you got Westbrook, you got Bertans, you got Rui, you've got Denny. Yes. I mean, you bring those three guys back, you basically are just bringing back the same roster.
Well, that's the point. You can't do that. You're 14 and 30 or whatever the hell they are. You can't bring back the same roster. You know, you just can't. You know, if you're serious about, again, showing your star player that you're improving the team to the point where it can compete with the better teams in the East, you have to be very bold in what you do. You really got to make sure that this is a much different looking team next year. And I don't just mean, you know, you lose Ish Smith or you lose Neto and you go sign, you know, another veteran backup point guard. You know, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about making your top seven better, like a lot better, like now. You know, that's the only hope they have. And that's going to require taking some chances, frankly, I think. I think they're just going to have to take some chances on making deals for, you know, a veteran player that can step in right away. And maybe they have to give up a future first to do that. But that might be what they have to do.
And they're in a tough position with that, too. Because of the protections that they put on the first round pick they're sending to Houston, that pick is very heavily protected, which in some ways, that's a good thing. That means there's a decent chance, there's a realistic chance that pick never conveys. They didn't actually give up a first for Westbrook. The other thing that it does, though, is it restricts them from trading a first rounder for a very long time. And the only way, realistically, there are weird ways that they can do it if the other team agrees to weird restrictions, but realistically, they could really only trade their 2021 first by sending it unprotected. And that was not going to happen. So Right. So trading a first round pick is just not very viable. And that concept, by the way, applies to a lot of teams around the league, which is something that is worth following in regards to Bradley Beal if he does hit the market at some point in the offseason or next year, which is that so many teams are super, super heavily protecting their picks in scenarios where like they didn't used to protect this heavily. Like in the Christian Wood trade, for example, the Christian Wood sign and trade Detroit and Houston did over the summer. Detroit sent a first rounder to Houston and they protected that pick for 7 years, which is like, okay, they're making it so they don't have to give up a first. But at the same time, they can't trade a first for a very long time. And a lot of teams are putting those kinds of protections on now. Because of that, it's going to limit how many teams can actually trade a solid number of first rounders for Beal if you get to a point to where you're trading him. And, you know, a couple teams give up multiple first rounders now for Vucevic and multiple first rounders for for Aaron Gordon commands draft picks. And so that market is getting a little bit smaller, and there will always be a market for Bradley Beal. I'm not saying that there won't be one. What I'm saying is that it's changing, and the protections on those picks is something that's worth following when we talk about what the hypothetical market would be, even though the Wizards refuse to let that marketplace open.
I think that's, you know, those sorts of things are easily fixed with specific language on picks. I don't think it's something that's going to, you know, hamstring really any team. If they really want a superstar player, you're going to have to give up a whole bunch of picks, and they will figure out how to do that in a way that makes Washington whole if they decide to go that route. There are protections. It does make it harder, but you can always take those protections off, you know? So if you really need to, there's ways around a lot of these things. But the bigger point to me is that it just, you know, this just cannot, you've had 2 years of this, you know, kind of waiting, clock running, not really seeing improvement on the floor. And it has to change. It just has to change. And it has to change in an obvious and dramatic way, or they're going to be in a world of trouble next year.
All right. Well, you can subscribe to Wizards After Dark if you're just randomly listening to this episode. You can tell your friends about Wizards After Dark. You can leave a review on Wizards After Dark if you listen to the show regularly and you want to do
very
something.
Very happy Bonga.
Oh, yeah. We didn't talk about Bonga not getting traded. How do we not talk about that?
I'm very pleased.
That should have been... I can't believe I haven't received an all caps message from you on the Slack thread.
That's how tired I am, Fred. I didn't do my Bonga bits, you know. I'm cautiously optimistic that they, you know, didn't ignore the obvious potential this kid still has. We all know he can't shoot. So again, you've got an off season to get in the lab and come back with a jumper, come back with a corner three. And if you come back with a corner three, you can stay. But if you don't, you can't stay. You know what I mean? Like, that's where we are with all of these guys, you know, like, you know, Rui's been, you know, pretty a little bit better this year, but he's got to be a lot better next year. And I think that's where all of these, you know, kind of experimental guys that they've brought in the last 2 years have to be. But I'm glad they kept Bonga, because I do think, you know, the defensive potential is just so obvious that it would have driven me crazy if that had been, you know, given away for another second round pick or something like that, something similar. At least they're keeping, you know, him and Matthews and guys, and now Gafford also, guys that, you know, have some real potential to be plus defenders, I think, in this league. So we'll see what happens.
Well, subscribe to Wizards After Dark. Tell your friends about Wizards After Dark. Subscribe to The Athletic if you want to. It's $1 a month. we're doing right now. That's it. You can go to theathletic.com/wizardsafterdark and you can sign up there for if you've been on the fence, that gets you everything. That's not just like Wizards content. That's going to get you everything. That's getting you your NBA, your NFL, your MLB, just theathletic.com/wizardsafterdark. And you can sign up for $1 a month. That's it. I'll be back with a new episode sometime next week, I'm sure. I'm sure I will be having on the guy you know around town, Ben Standig. That's how he referred to himself on the podcast once. The guy said, I'm known around town. So I'm sure I'll be having the guy you know around town. Anyway, I will talk to you guys then.